This is a continuation of a teaching I started last week on ministry gifts, and we talked some about natural gifts that all of us have and talked about learned gifts that are talents that we may have. We talked about how the Holy Spirit often enhances or anoints our natural talents. And then we started talking about spiritual gifts. These are the gifts that aren't natural. These are the gifts that you can't do on your own. These are the things that you can't learn how to do. These are the gifts that God gives us supernaturally through the Holy Spirit. And He does that for the building up of the church. So we're going to pick up on the message where we're talking about the gift of healing. This is where the Holy Spirit heals people that we lay hands on or people that we pray for. And again, I've heard people say, well, you know, the gift of healing, that's doctors. That's the doctors that we have. They're the gift of healing. No, it's not. Doctors have learned that stuff. That's not a spiritual gift. They went to school, you know. Maureen's going to go to school and be a doctor, a nurse, what she's going to do. It'll be a great gift to the community, but it won't be a spiritual gift. When we go on mission trips, we operate in this gift a lot. God has anointed us to pray for the sick and see the sick recover in a great way. When Debbie and I pray for folks that are sick, we have just come to expect that they're going to get healed because it happens so often. That's not us doing it. It's a gift of healing in operation. What's funny is when we take a team with us somewhere to minister, especially on mission trips and stuff, it's almost like God is playing a game with me over this, because He'll anoint everybody in the team to heal people, and I may or may not ever touch anybody that gets healed. This happened not too long ago. We were, I don't remember the exact details, but we were in a healing rally, and you know, I'm praying for people, and the guy has a tummy ache, and I pray for him. Yeah, I think the tummy ache's gone. The next guy's a tummy ache or a headache or something, you know, little things here. While somebody else on the team is over here praying for the person who has crippling arthritis, and they're jumping up out of their wheelchair and running around. Well, I've been healed! You know? And at first it was like, well, God, why can't I? It's fun to heal people. Why can't I? But I began to realize God wants folks to know when they come on these trips, when they go to minister, that God's going to work through them. They want to see that happen. And you know, shucks, if I never pray for anybody to get healed on a ministry trip, but every one of the team members that goes with me prays for folks and they get healed, I'll still come back a happy man. You understand? But that's a gift of healing that's in operation. Gift of miracles. Surely a healing is a miracle, and finding something is a miracle, but I think this is just kind of the broad category of supernatural events, things above and beyond our normal natural occurrence. I'll tell you two stories about gifts of miracle at work, okay? I was assembling some computers for a customer. I had bought the parts, and some of the parts were some small pieces of aluminum that were specially machined. It took a while to get them. You couldn't just go down to Radio Shack to get it, right? And I start putting together these dozen computers, and I open the bag, and I've only got six of those parts. And I'm supposed to deliver these computers the next day, and I am just kind of beside myself. And Debbie happens to be around. She says, what's going on? What's wrong? And I tell her the story. Now, she had been watching a show on TV, and this evangelist was talking about how, Shambach. This evangelist was talking about how there was often an anointing on him for multiplication of things. And as a matter of fact, he told a story about a woman that didn't have enough money for a bus trip, and so she took the money she had, put it in a paper sack, told him to hold it while he preached. And sure enough, when he finished preaching, she had enough money to go. And Debbie's telling me this story, and I'm rolling my eyes and going, look, I'm trying to build computers here, you know, this stuff, I don't know about this. And she said, well, let's just pray. And so we pray over this sack of parts, and I look in there and I count them, and well, there's eight. Okay, well, I just probably miscounted before. I thought there were six. But she said, no, put them all back in there and close the sack, and let's pray again. And listen,
I'm telling, if you were telling me this, I would tell you, oh, sure, and I probably wouldn't believe you. It happened to me, and so I know that it's true. We prayed about two more times, and eventually there were 12 parts in that sack. Okay? That's a gift of working of miracles. We had a similar thing happen, and Grace can testify to this, at a Kenya wedding a few years ago. We thought about 100 people would come to this wedding, and it ended up about 400 folks showed up. And so when it came time for the reception, we had enough food for about 100 people, and there were 400 Kenyans. Now, since most of y'all are Kenyan, y'all understand how Kenyans eat. You know, you take the plate and you kind of pile it as high as you can possibly pile it, and then you go back and do that again a time or two. And so it becomes real obvious real quick. We don't have anywhere near enough food to feed these people. The first indication is we're running out of chicken. And so Debbie says, let's just pray over the food that God will multiply this food. I'm telling you, they ended up, they fed 400 people and had as much food left over as they did at the time that they prayed for God to multiply the food. Right? I'm telling the truth, aren't I? That's the gift of miracles at work. Now, you know what? Food at a wedding doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? God cares about every part of our life, and He wants to work and work miraculously in every area of our life. Okay, gift of prophecy. That's a person speaking on behalf of God to another person or to a group of people. That's my specific definition of prophecy anyway. God speaking through somebody to somebody else or to a group of people. And usually that includes facts, knowledge. It often includes wisdom. It can often include foretelling or information. But it's not the same as the gift of word of knowledge or word of wisdom because it's personal. It's directed toward a certain person or toward a certain group. And often prophecy is a warning. Like the word of prophecy that Debbie had for that guy I was talking to on the phone. That would have been a warning for him. Once upon a time, God gave me a prophetic dream. Sometimes prophecies come in the form of words that we speak. Sometimes they come in the form of pictures. God will paint a picture and then you describe that picture and that's how you present the prophecy. Sometimes they come in the way of dreams. Lord gave me a dream one time about a person, about a young woman. And I told her this dream. I said, God says that you're hanging out with some people that you shouldn't be hanging out with. And if you don't quit hanging out with them, you're going to get pregnant. And she didn't receive that at all. God's prophecy was fulfilled in her life. She should have listened. God speaks to us sometimes in prophecy to encourage us. He speaks to us sometimes to warn us. He speaks to us sometimes to give us direction, to talk about what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Prophecy is an incredibly important tool in our lives for God to be able to show us how to break free from the bondages that we're in oftentimes. And so let the Lord work with you in that. Sometimes preachers are preaching, and while they're preaching, prophecy is coming forth, and they're not thinking about, oh, I'm prophesying now, okay, I'm preaching now, I'm prophesying. It's just all one thing. It's coming out as the gift. Sometimes the gift of prophecy works with other gifts. One time I was praying for a woman that was having trouble with, I don't remember what it was about her blood. Her blood flow wasn't working right. I don't remember now. And so as I was praying for her, gift of healing came into operation. And the Lord touched her and healed her blood flow. Now, she wasn't aware of that. I just knew that that's what had happened. I could tell the gift of healing was in operation. But gift of prophecy also started to work. And the Lord spoke to her and said, daughter, do not fear. Your blood flow has been taken care of. Well, see, that way then she could relax and allow God to continue His healing and complete the healing that was in His life. So sometimes prophecy and will flow together with other gifts. Distinguishing of spirits or discerning of spirits, and there are different interpretations. We're not sure exactly what the right English word is to use there. But let me tell you what I think it is. I think it's a God-given gifting about evil spirits, and it's so that we will know when an evil spirit is at work. It's so that we will know what evil spirit is at work, and so we will know how to deal with it. Remember in the Bible, there was a boy that threw himself into the fire, and they cast a demon out of him. He was called a lunatic at the time. And they recognized, well, this is a demonic oppression. Well, sometimes folks are just mentally ill. They don't need the devil cast out of them. They need their mind healed, or their brain needs to have some parts of it healed. And so the distinguishing of spirits, discerning of spirits, helps us to understand that. I recently prayed with a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he was being attacked by a spirit of discouragement. And he just thought he was discouraged. He just thought, well, where I'd been was everything was going really well, and then they moved me down to this church, and this church isn't what I expected it, maybe it's just me, I don't like it. The discerning of spirits, though, came into operation and told this guy, no, this is an evil spirit. The devil is bringing a spirit of discouragement to you and trying to discourage you over this. And the situation's not going to just get better. You need deliverance. And so we prayed a prayer of deliverance. God set him free. And I mean, he was turned around at that point and had a totally different view and kept a totally different view about his church and the parish and what was going on. Well, that was because God had revealed what was going on. One of our church members was being attacked by a spirit of rage, for instance. God revealed that and showed him how to deal with that. Look, when this rage comes on you, you need to take authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ and tell that evil spirit to leave. And sure enough, he began to get control over this because of the knowledge that was given. Now, some folks are just naturally sensitive to supernatural things, especially children. You know, children will see angels or demons at times when us adults, we can't see any of that. But sometimes adults are naturally sensitive to spiritual things. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. Because in their case, that ability to see demons in action or angels, that's a natural gift for them. They just happen to have those kind of eyes, spiritual eyes, that see that. Most of us, like I say, we grow out of that. But when I'm talking about discerning of spirits, I'm talking about a spiritual gift that can operate through anyone and show us what's going on in the spirit world. Okay, next to last is tongues. Tongues is supernaturally speaking in a language that you have not learned. Now, again, I have heard people say, well, you know, the gift of tongues is when you go to school and learn different languages so that you can go and spread the gospel in their language. And well, no, that's not the gift of tongues, okay? Gift of tongues is when the Holy Spirit begins to speak through you in a language that you have never learned and you do not understand that language. Some folks have said, well, matter of fact, we were in Scotland last year. There was a guy, well, you know, the gift of tongues is only supposed to be used to evangelize peoples that you don't know how to speak their language. And that's the only reason for the gift of tongues. And I thought, oh, that poor guy. I feel sorry for that guy. Now, I have spoken in tongues before people who have said that they recognize the language. Oh, I heard you praising God in this language, you know. Don't ask me, because I don't speak that language, man. I don't know. And I don't know, was I speaking in that language, or was this, like I said, the gift of Pentecost, where maybe the gift is they were hearing me in their own language. I don't know which it was. But I know that the reality is that these are real languages when folks speak in tongues. Yeah, Paul talks about it somehow being tongues of men and angels, but it's a real language. As a matter of fact, that's one of the three things that's mentioned there in Mark 16. Believers will cast out devils, believers will lay hands on the sick, and believers will speak in tongues. So it's not just a gift for a couple of folks, you know, it's a gift for everybody. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. The literal word there is I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. Writing to the Corinthians. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul here is setting up the concept that there are two kinds of speaking in tongues. One is more public and the other is more private. When he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together, I believe he was talking more about his private devotional life. Some folks have called that devotional tongues or your personal language, or, you know, there's different phrases that have been used to describe that. The idea is that when I'm praying by myself, and I don't necessarily mean me all alone, when we were worshiping God here a while ago, I was praying in tongues some. Well, I wasn't doing that for public display. It wasn't the public speaking in tongues. It was just my own devotional language. I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit is praying through me. I can tell you from literally now decades of experience speaking in tongues every day, that is one of the most wonderful things there is in the whole world. When I'm feeling down, when things aren't going right, when I'm tired, I don't care. You just pick the situation. If I start speaking in tongues, I start feeling better. And as a matter of fact, Paul says, I didn't mark it down. Yeah, here you go. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, one who speaks in tongues edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies or lifts up or builds up the whole church. Again, there's this concept of there is a private and a public version of speaking in tongues. And he's saying the one who speaks in tongues privately is building themselves up, or they're being built up through that process. I speak in tongues when I'm driving places. I speak in tongues when I'm walking down it very quietly so that people don't think I'm crazy. When I'm walking down the aisles of the grocery store or in crowds. I mean, if I got a chance that I'm not doing something else, I want to speak in. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. He can be praying through me. He can be praising God. I don't know what he's saying. I don't have a clue what he's saying. I don't need to have a clue. All I know is it's good stuff, man, and it works well. Okay? Now, speaking in tongues is not a once and done phenomena. Some folks will talk about, well, you know, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago and spoke in tongues. Yeah, have you spoken in tongues since then? No. Hey, man, we got to be filled and refilled all the time. We're just human beings. That's the way we are. And we need to let God, we need to find a place every day, I believe, so that we can pray in tongues and speak in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit use this wonderful spiritual gift through us and speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 and 28, Paul says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, then let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Again, this concept of private speaking in tongues, public speaking in tongues, if in this situation here, where we're all fairly quiet, and all of a sudden, I began to speak in tongues, especially if I began to speak in a fairly forceful or loud voice in tongues, it's obvious, at that point that I'm doing the speaking in tongues that Paul is talking about here, where it's in the church, it's public. And at that point, there needs to be an interpreter. We shouldn't be just, you know, if I spoke in tongues for about 5 minutes, and then Grace did for about 5 minutes, and then Lawrence did for 3 or 4 minutes, and Debbie for coming in, Lindsay, you know. We'd be going, okay, man, when's this going to be over with? I'm ready to leave, you know, because we wouldn't understand anything. And that's what Paul is talking about in the church, in a church service, in a public environment. If someone speaks in tongues, then it ought to be interpreted. Well, the interpretation is the next gift. And so we'll talk about that. And then we'll finish up real quickly here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. Paul actually talks about how the prophecies can come in the forms of interpretations. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues. That is, unless he is interpreting. In other words, the interpretation then becomes like a prophecy. One time, Debbie and I were praying, and we were just the two of us. And we were seeking God, looking for direction about what God wanted to do in our lives. And I gave a message in tongues, and the interpretation came in the form of a vision. It didn't come in the form of like an interpretation. You know, if y'all only understood Swahili, for instance, and I was going to preach to you, well, then maybe Grace might interpret. And so I would say a phrase, and then Grace would say the Swahili version of that. That would be interpreting with words. But sometimes the interpretation from tongues comes in the form of a picture. And the Lord gave us a picture about a stormy night and lightning and how we were supposed to get through that. And it was great guidance for us at the time in where we needed to go. So that was a church of just two of us where tongues and interpretation was at work. There's been some other situations where God has spoken to me. My understanding of how God wants intimate fellowship with us came as a result of tongues and interpretations. So it's a great way for God to speak to us in a way that we might not otherwise hear. And the fact that it's tongues first and then the interpretation helps lend to the understanding, helps folks around understand, oh, this is God at work. This is the Holy Spirit doing this. This is not just somebody making something up as they go. Okay, so I have said that spiritual gifts are not learned. They are not natural gifts for us, but they are completely and entirely from the Holy Spirit. And that's true. However, there is a little caveat. And that is that we do have to learn get out of the way of the Holy Spirit so He can use us. We have to learn how to know when it's God, when it's not. We have to learn how to be yielded to the Holy Spirit so that He can use us in a complete way. So there is some learning that has to be involved. And sometimes the learning is just how to step out and allow the Holy Spirit to use you. You know, the first time you get a word of prophecy for someone, you're sitting there thinking, wow, I wonder how they're going to receive this. This kind of seemed a little off the wall. It's easy to get timid. You know, it's easy to say, well, yeah, what if I'm wrong? What if this is me and not the Holy Spirit? And so you may actually have to be in a place where you can practice allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, where you're in an environment of believers that love you and love each other, and they understand that we're all human and we have to learn how to hear the voice of God and how to distinguish between what we're thinking and what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so you have to be allowed to make some mistakes. That's okay. Or for instance, the Lord may give you a word of prophecy about someone, and He has no intention for you to tell that person that word of prophecy. The Lord is giving you that prophecy for them so that then He can use you in the gift of intercession to intercede on their behalf about that particular thing, whatever that is. He doesn't want you to ever to tell them about it. He just wants you to be able to intercede properly. and use that gift properly. And so sometimes the learning is how to keep your mouth shut and when not to say something and when not to do something. We have to just understand that this is all about the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do for the body. It's not about us. We have to learn to disconnect our egos. What if I get in a place where I'm supposed to be ministering to people and the Lord doesn't say anything? Well, that happens. That happens to me. Or what about I'm called for a healing rally and I go to pray for folks and nobody gets healed? That can happen. I can't let myself get worried about that. I can't get in a situation where I'm saying, well, what will they think of me if God doesn't use me to heal? Hey, look, that's up to God. It's not up to me. So I have to learn how to get my ego and my emotions out of the way so the Holy Spirit can move. So yes, I guess you could say there is some learning, but it's not about learning to heal. It's not about learning to prophesy. In other words, it's not about learning and somehow then you do those spiritual gifts on your own. No, it's about learning how to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit move in with you and let the Holy Spirit operate these spiritual gifts through you. And you have to learn how to not be timid and learn how to listen and, you know, those kind of things. So, yes, I guess technically there's some learning that has to be done. Okay, so in conclusion, finally, we can say that there are three kinds of giftings. There are natural gifts that we just happen to have, and we need to use those for God. We need to let God anoint us and use those where we can. And then sometimes there are learned gifts. Garen is learning to be a Boy Scout, for instance. He's learning a lot of things there that God will eventually use in his life, hopefully, for the kingdom of God. And then last but not least, there are the spiritual gifts, which I love to operate in because you get to see miracles. You get to see God do things that he just, you know, you might not otherwise see. And as a matter of fact, today I'm expecting that as we begin to pray for you, that God is going to move and God is going to do miracles and we're going to see people delivered and we're going to see bondages broken off and things like that. And Grace was hoping that Debbie and I could lay hands on anybody that wants that and pray for you. We'll certainly be glad to do that. But I don't want anybody to think that we're the only ones that can pray or allow the gifts to move through. I want you all to to pray with us and agree in prayer with us. And let's have a time and see God really move.